All right, so you guys are ready for the word this morning? I hope so. I'm real excited about the message today. So Romans chapter 8, if you would, Romans chapter 8 in your Bibles, electronic device, however you get to scripture. Romans chapter 8. This is a continuation of the series that we started a few weeks ago called The Invisible War. Now, we always... There is this battle that takes place inside of us, this invisible war. How do you win the battle of temptation? How do you win the battle between evil and good? And it is something that we all deal with, okay? I mean, every single one of us deal with this. No one is exempt. It affects every person. So we're looking at this, how you win the invisible war. We're trying to get some principles from the Word of God and some help from the Word of God and direction from the Word of God to be better equipped to fight the enemy, because there is an enemy out there. The scripture says this, that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's out for this battle that takes place. And we're looking at scripture, trying to get some help and instruction as to what we can do and how to win this battle. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about being set free from me, okay? Because sometimes the focus is all about us, and we've got a very narrow circle, a circle that we draw around ourselves, and we focus on that. So how do we get set free, this invisible battle, this internal battle that goes on? How are we going to experience freedom? And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today and gain some insight from Romans chapter 8. Because I'm going to tell you something, we have an enemy that will mess you up. He'll mess you up, not only you, but he'll mess those up around you and those that you love. So he'll keep you from having joy. He'll keep you from having purpose. He'll keep you from having meaning in life. And so we're going to deal with that. So we have, scripture calls, tells us that we have three enemies. There is the world. And when I say the world, I'm talking about the plans, programs, philosophies that are all anti-God. So that's the world. That's what I mean when we talk about the world. Then there is Satan, and that's a constant battle that we face, all right? We just face that on a regular basis. And then there is the battle of the flesh, and that's a battle that goes on within us. So that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and we have a very real enemy, but we need to know how to fight the enemy. We need to know what we can use to be effective against the enemy. And I will tell you this, that your biggest problem is not Satan. Your biggest problem is not the world. My biggest problem is not Satan. My biggest problem is not the world. My biggest problem is me. And can I just say this? Your biggest problem is you. All right? Isn't that true? It is. So that's this battle that goes on inside of us. And we looked last week about this battle, and we talked about that last week. And the reason that there is a battle that goes on is because we have an old nature that we were born with, and then we have a new nature. That's the nature that we have once we're born again. The Spirit of God indwells us and lives with us. So last week we looked at Paul, the great apostle Paul, and his testimony in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 is about a defeated Christian. Romans chapter 8 is the answer to that, and that's what we're going to look at today. So we dwelt in Romans chapter 7, so thank you guys who were here last week and endured Romans chapter 7, and we got a little taste of Romans chapter 8 at the end, and we're going to continue with that today as we talk about being set free for me. So Romans chapter 7, you got the apostle Paul, and he says this. He says, I don't understand myself. He said, I can't figure it out. He said, when I want to do good, I don't. And those things that are evil, he said, I find myself doing those from time to time. So Paul says, I can't figure it out. Now, let me just tell you something. If the great apostle Paul couldn't figure it out, that gives us a little bit of encouragement that sometimes we get to the end of our rope and we can't figure it out, right? I mean, that's the story of us, this internal battle going on inside of every single one of us who named the name of Jesus Christ, who love the Lord. And we focused on Paul's testimony last week where it talks about these consequences, the cost of sin. I gave you six of those. We talked about the cause of this. internal battle, and that's the new nature against the old nature, and it's just something that we battle. And then we looked at and started this, and we're going to continue this today, and that's the cure of the battle, okay? That's the cure, all right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I mentioned this last week, and this is going to be in a continuation of this. All right, so if we're going to win this battle, we've got to increase in our understanding of who Christ is. All right, and then I talked about how you've got to detect and disarm the lies that come at us in so many different directions, whether it's from Satan, whether it's lies that we're believing ourselves. These are things that damage us, things that hurt us, things that cause enormous pain for us, things that cause enormous unhappiness, things that will cause enormous, you know, situations and difficulty in our lives. And we deal with these things. So what I want to do today is I want us to look at how to overcome this battle. How do we do that? And we get some great insight from Scripture. And that's what we stand on, is the Bible. The Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God lives inside of us and can give us the victory. So Romans chapter 7 is about defeat. Romans chapter 8 is about victory. So Paul says this at the end of Romans chapter 7, after he's gone through and he said, I don't understand myself. He said, when I want to do good, I don't. When I, you know, there's bad that I do, I don't want to do it, but I still do it. So he says, I can't understand myself. And then Paul says, you know, my life is messed up. I've tried everything and nothing helps. And then he gets down to Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, and he says this, oh, wretched man that I am. Anybody ever felt that way?
Yes.
You might have come to church today feeling that way. Paul says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And I want you to notice something. He didn't say what. He said who. Because the answer is not in a program. It's not an appeal. It's not in some class. It's not in some book. The answer is in the person. And notice what he says in verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then we move right into Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is arguably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. A survey was taken here some time ago of those who study Scripture. This survey was taken of Bible scholars, and they said if you could take one chapter and one chapter only, and you were on a desert island, which chapter would you take? And 90% of them said Romans chapter 8. It's powerful. I mean, this is a strong passage of Scripture. So with what we've talked about, this internal battle that goes on in us, inside of us, this invisible war between good and evil, this invisible war that we face fighting temptation, with that thought in mind, we jump right into chapter 8. And here's the first step. If we're going to have victory and be set free from me, write this down if you're taking notes, and I hope you are. Here's the first thing. I've got to remind myself daily what Jesus did for me. So if I'm going to experience victory, I've just got to remind myself daily of what Jesus did for me. And he says this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I've highlighted a couple things here. We'll get to the rest of the verse in just a moment. I've highlighted a couple things, and I want those to jump out at you today, all right? No condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's talking about this, so Romans chapter 8 is a chapter for believers. It's a chapter for me and you who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he's telling us there's no condemnation to those, now get this, who are in Jesus Christ. So no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Now, no condemnation means this. It means that God doesn't judge you for the things that you've done wrong if you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He doesn't have to judge you because he's already judged his son, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross and died on the cross for your sins and mine. So therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I hope Daystar Church, you get excited about that. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't judge us because he judged his son, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross. He paid our penalty. He suffered our judgment. He literally suffered our hell for us. So if I'm a believer, if I belong to Christ, there's no condemnation. Now then, notice this. Can you throw it back up, son? Notice this. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I've highlighted that because I want that to jump out to you. And that's so very important here. So if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you are under no condemnation. It doesn't say that after I become a Christian that I won't sin. It doesn't say that I'm not going to be tempted to sin. It just says that when I mess up and sin comes, whether it was last week, last month, last year, your entire life in the past, Jesus has already paid for your sin. He's paid for the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow, next week, next month, and for the rest of your life. They're paid in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. So we've got to remind ourselves. Now, when this battle takes place, we've got to remind ourselves of what Jesus did for me. Now, this is something that, okay, we know here, but it's got to get here. Yep. It's one thing to say, I believe it and know it here, but it's another thing for us to say that I believe and know it here. So the rest of the verse says this: there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The other thing that we've got to remember here is this. As because I'm a believer, now there is new power in my life greater than the willpower that I had before I became a believer. Before you became a believer, the only weapon that you had against this old nature, this temptation, was sheer willpower. And can I just tell you this, and you know it already, but willpower wears off. So we have a greater power inside of us. And he says this in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." And by the way, let me just say this. And I didn't highlight it, but I should have the word law there, because I want that to jump out at you as well. Laws simply work on the outside behavior. Doesn't change you from inside. Let me say that again. Laws simply work on the outside behavior, doesn't change you on the inside. Let me see if I can illustrate that. All right, say I bring in a big pig. I mean a big sow. I mean here she is in all of her glory, and she's been out rolling in the mud. And not a hard thing to do after all the rain we've had. But she's been out rolling in the mud. She's eat her usual slop, whatever she could find to eat. I mean, she stinks to high heaven. And if I brought her in and I said, "What is this?" you would say, "It's a pig." All right, so now say I take that pig and I run it through a couple of car washes, maybe even give it a bath. And put it in the bathtub, and as Savannah would do from time to time, she'd drop one of those bath bombs in there. So I put a bath bomb in. And this pig, I'm trying to clean it up now, and I've this perfume soap, and try to get it all cleaned up. Maybe I brush its teeth, I rub it down a little bit, and tie a ribbon around its neck, and put a bonnet on it, and put some eyeshadow on it, and some fake eyelashes, and lipstick on that pig. And I bring that pig back in here, and I say, "What is this?" You're going to say it's a pig. It's a pig. Now, I've spiffed up the outside, but the nature hasn't changed. It's the same. Isn't it true? That's what happens to us sometimes. We spiff up the outside just by sheer willpower and say, "I'm going to change. I'm going to clean up." Maybe we look a little different on the outside, but nothing has changed on the inside. If we're going to win this battle that goes on, this battle between good and evil, we've got to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. And it's a radical change that takes place when we come to know Christ as Savior. Verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." Now get this, don't miss this. God sent his Son in the likeness of you and me because of sin, on the account of sin, it says. He condemned sin in the flesh. that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So believers, here's what happens. We've got this old nature and we've got this new nature. And instead of following the old nature, we can follow the Spirit of God and the leading of the Spirit of God in our lives. So if we're really serious about winning this war, then we've got to take the first step. All right, so we've got to take the step and realize that all that Jesus has done for us, and then we've got to start where God says we have to start. We don't start with our behavior, our emotions. We don't start with our actions or our feelings. You know where it starts? In the mind. And that, because Scripture tells us this, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That leads us into the second point here. If we're going to win this battle that is going on, we get instructions from Romans chapter 8. Here's the second thing, jot it down, and that's this. I ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. I ask Him to give me better thoughts. Now, let me ask you this. If you ask the Holy Spirit to give you better thoughts, do you think He'll answer that prayer? He would delight in answering that prayer. So it's a prayer that we need to pray and asking the Holy Spirit to give us better thoughts. So I ask Him to give me better thoughts on a regular basis, on a constant basis. And the next two verses deal with this. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 says this. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there's two mindsets here. And I don't think it's hard for us to see this. It's pretty easy for us to see this. Two mindsets here. So it's the mindset of the old nature versus the mindset of the Holy Spirit. There's a mindset of the way that I would normally think about my life, and then there's a mindset of how the Spirit sees my life. So I have to choose between these mindsets. Here's the beauty of this. Please look at me in the eye and hear me this morning. You get to make that choice. I can't make it for you. Your husband can't make it for you. Your wife can't make it for you. Your mom can't make it for you. Your dad, you understand, it's something that you have to do for yourself. So I get to choose the mindsets. Am I going to set my mind on the way that I would think about the things of the flesh, or am I going to set my mind and on the way that God thinks about me? There's a big difference here, and we get to choose in this matter. So if you choose one, you're going to get one response. If you choose the other, you're going to get another response, and Scripture tells us what that is. So here's what Scripture says in verse 6. It says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I love this. There is the mindset of the sinful man, and that leads to death. Now, I think that's talking about the destructive ways. When you choose the ways of the world, we do harm to ourselves. All right, so it's talking about that. But then to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you would like life and peace in your life? All right, I would as well. I'm telling you, so we have these mindsets. Whatever you focus on gets your attention, and what gets your attention gets you. All right? So here's the deal. We have opportunity to think on these things. Satan gives you ideas, and that's called temptation. The Holy Spirit gives you ideas, that's called inspiration. But the truth is, you and I get to focus on what we think about. Yes, we do. Amen, preacher. We get to choose which mindset. So He gives us this opportunity, the thoughts He gives us, the truth that He gives us. They're always going to be right. They're always going to be true. They're always going to be helpful. They're always going to be pure. So invite the Holy Spirit of God. Invite the Holy Spirit of God to put thoughts in your minds that would please Him. The mindset that God gives leads to life and peace. All right, so here's the third principle. If we're going to win this invisible war, write this down, and that is this. We realize I have a new ability to say no. I have a new ability to say no. Whereas in the past, I might not have been able to have say no in my own willpower, but now I have a new power that helps me to say no. And we have to tap into that power. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. We mentioned this verse last week, but I want to share it with you again today. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. comes down again to a mindset, doesn't it? Let the Spirit of God live through you. He lives in you. Let Him live through you. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. He gives us a new power to say no, an ability to say no. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have a new ability to say no. Here's the fourth thing. Jot it down. We're moving right along now. I want you to see this. I need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. Whenever I'm afraid. And this is important. I don't want you to miss this. So I need to remind myself every day what Jesus has done for me. I have to ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. I have ability to say no. And then I need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now that Abba, Father term there, that is the most basic, intimate form of Father. It means Daddy. It means Papa. And verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So God tells us this, for those of us who are His children, when we're afraid, we can call out to Him. Here's a couple of things that I want you to jot down, not on your card, but maybe you can find some room to jot these down. I did put them on the screen for you because I want these things to resonate with you, and I want you to understand what we have. When we're afraid, we can call out to God our Father. And first thing is this, the Spirit that God has given us makes us a child of God. Whenever you're afraid, the first thing you need to do is remember this. You need to remember whose family you're in, whose family you are in. Okay, I'm in the family of God, and God takes care of His family. I love the family that God has blessed me with. And you guys, I know, are the same. You love the family that God has blessed you with. I love the church family that God has blessed us with. I love that, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm a child of God, and what time I'm afraid, I'm going to call out to Him and realize that He's my Father. Here's the second thing. When fear comes, whatever fear it may be, you can call out to your Heavenly Father. You know, number one fear, I've read the studies, number one fear that people often say that they have is the fear of public speaking, maybe the fear of heights, maybe it's the fear of new social situations. But after pastoring for 35 years, I think that the number one fear that people have is the fear of not being in control. I think when you feel like your life is out of control, it creates enormous fear in your life. And you get to the point where you start to think, I'm wondering if things are ever going to be normal again. I'm wondering if things are ever going to be like they once were. You've tried so hard to make things work. You've tried to make it happen. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. You don't know which way's up. You don't know if you're coming or going. And maybe you think, I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. Ever been there? Absolutely. We've all experienced that. So let me just put your mind at ease this morning. You're not crazy because crazy people don't have that fear. Crazy people are very happy to be crazy and don't care. They just don't care. So the very fact that you're afraid that you're losing your mind or going crazy means that you're rational. Because crazy people don't care about being crazy, right? So please listen to me. Maybe we just need to admit. I'm broken, but I'm not crazy. I'm broken, but I'm not losing my mind. Everybody's broken. I'm broken. You're broken. The person that's sitting next to you is broken. Nothing is perfect in this world. But you're not crazy. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what has He given us? Power, love, and a sound mind." Jot this down on your card somewhere. The more controlled you are by the Holy Spirit of God, the more self-control you're going to have. Now then, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, "For God's not given us a spirit of fear." So what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in Him. God says that we've not been given a spirit of fear, so when you're afraid, listen to me, that's not from God. When God's Spirit comes into your life, you're filled with love. You're filled with power. I want that. You're filled with a sound mind. I want that. So just remember this internal battle that's going on. When we're afraid, we can call out to God, our Heavenly Father. Here's the fifth thing. Jot it down. Focus long-term, not short-term. Focus long-term, not short-term. When you think in long terms, you're more able to handle the short-term pain that you might be going through. You're able to handle the short-term losses, the short-term failures, because you're thinking long-term. Now, we as Christians, we ought to win this one hands down. Because when we think in long terms, we think of eternity, right? We think of eternity. We don't think 5 to 10 years down the road. We think about eternity. I think society thinks on the short term. But Scripture says this, Romans chapter 8, verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer, with Christ, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So the Bible tells us when we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded. You'll be rewarded for how well you did with what you were given. As far as your time, your treasure, your talent, your influence, God has put this stuff in our hands and we're stewards of that. And our rewards are going to be based on that. Now, something very interesting here. I want you to see this. Not only that, but the Bible says that we are heirs with God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means this, we're going to co-reign with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. The best way I can explain this is like you have a theater and you have on the outside of that theater a sign that says, "For all of eternity, starring Jesus Christ, co-starring, put your name there." So we're heirs with God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We don't focus so much on the short term, but we focus on the long term. Here's the sixth thing. Jot it down. We're almost finished. And that is this. God is good and in control. I don't have time, but if I did, I'd jump into verses 19 through 25. And Paul describes how sin has damaged the world. Everything is broken. We see this in verse 22 where it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until it together until now. All of creation is groaning." Shannon has, of course, just experienced birth. So this is the world in which we live. Okay? It's like childbirth. He says, and the result of that is a broken world. And I'll just tell you this, the result of pain that we experience sometimes and oftentimes is bitterness. It leads to bitterness. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there are four things that we've got to remember, okay? We've got these down. I want you to jot these down because suffering in life is not optional. Suffering is going to come. Misery is optional. Bitterness is optional, okay? So keep that thought in mind and jot this first thing down as we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, that the Holy Spirit is praying for me. So that encourages me. That helps me to win this battle, to realize that there's someone praying for me. The Holy Spirit of God is praying for me. Verse 26 tells us this, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Verse 27, he says, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So understand this. When you're going through a difficult time and this battle is raging, the Holy Spirit of God is praying for you. That ought to help you and that ought to encourage you. Not only that, but jot this second thing down. God is using it all for good. He's using it all for good. Everything in my life, he's using it all for good. We don't understand that, but Scripture tells us in verse 28, it's a verse that most of you could quote. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So God is greater than my problems, amen? God is greater than my enemies, amen? God is greater, and He's using it for my good and for His glory, okay? Here's the third thing. God wants me to succeed. You believe that? God don't want you to fail. He wants you to be a success. He wants you to succeed in this battle. He wants you to win this battle. God's not against you. He's for you. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Verse 32 tells us that God will give me what I need. Jot that down. That's the last one. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God's going to meet the needs that you have. He's promised to meet the needs that you have. So when this battle is raging, we remember that God will give us what we need to experience the victory. There's nothing in your life that God doesn't care about. Okay? Number 7, Michael, come on. Here's the final thing that I want you to see from Romans chapter 8 as we're talking about winning this battle, this invisible battle that takes place, being set free from me, and that is this. The seventh and the final thing, jot it down this way, trust that God will never, ever, ever, ever stop loving me. I'm in the family. He will never stop loving me. All of us have experienced some form of rejection in our lives. Nothing hurts more than rejection. But one thing I can promise you is this, that God will never reject you. You can go to Him. You never have to wonder if He loves me. Because Scripture tells us this, that He loves us with an unending love, an undying love. He will never, ever, ever stop loving me. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, Scripture says this, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. Now close your Bibles and let me just talk to you for a second. This battle that we face is very real. I mean, every single one of us face this. This battle of the old and the new. It's constantly, constantly raging. But we've been promised victory because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. So I want you to rejoice in that. And these seven principles that we learned today, these seven keys that will help us to unlock being set free from me, they will help us experience victory. And I'm so glad that we serve a God and have a God that wants us to experience victory. And it's there for us. So I want us to think about that and pray about that this morning as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Heads bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. I I've just got to remind myself daily what Jesus did for me if I'm going to experience victory. Realize it starts in the mind. Battle is there. That's the devil's playground and battlefield is the mind. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. I'm going to realize that when temptation comes, I have a new ability to say no, and I have the power to say no. And I just need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid, because I experience fear from time to time. And then I focus on the long term, not the short term. This too is going to come to pass. Maybe tomorrow will be a better day. And then just realize that God is good and God is in control. We may not have all of the answers right now, but one day we will. And we understand this, that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. God's using all things for good in our lives. He wants us to succeed. And He'll give me what I need to succeed. And then I realize that He'll never, ever, ever stop loving me. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promise of Your Word. Thank You that there's great victory, there's great help, there's great hope there. We thank You that the Word of God encourages us and challenges us. So I pray, dear God, that You'll please help me to have a mindset of life and peace. Invite You into my thoughts. Help me to remember and to realize I have a new ability to say no. I can't, and I don't have to just rely on sheer willpower anymore. It's because of the Spirit of God living inside of me that I can say no. So I ask You for help today. I ask You for strength, not only for me, but every person here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You will strengthen, help us not to focus on our fears, but help us to focus on our Father. Help us to focus on the long term. And dear God, I pray You'll help us just to understand You're in control and that You'll never stop loving us. And for that, we thank You. And we bless You and we praise You. So Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here. You'll strengthen them today. I pray that this will not just, the words of Scripture will not just make it to our minds, but it'll go deep in our heart. The Word of God will take root downward and it'll bear fruit upward. So I pray that You grant that for every person here. Just minister meet needs today. Thank You for the great victory we have, and we bless You, we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Hey, if I can help you, you